to be a challenge, I think, in the long run, the Democratic Party. If we don't get that kind of moderate, if we don't continue to get the kind of moderate leadership that's necessary. If we don't continue to get the kind of moderate leadership that's necessary, it means that the party will revert back to an all-white political party. And I believe that would be a tragedy for our state and our people. Because then, again, all the issues will start coming up in black and white, pure black and white. You know, again, I think we'll be on the road back to what Bill Key was doing back in, talking about in the 40s and the 50s, back to that again. And it means that in areas such as in the Delta area, you probably have strong liberal, moderate leadership. But in areas such as East Mississippi, and others where there are very few blacks, it means that you have a complete annihilation of black leadership as far as voice being in the state and it's on the state level. So I think this could be mistaken because it becomes then a party of blacks against the whites. You know? And that, I think, could be a tragic error.
Do you see that happening?
I'm only saying, I don't see it happening. I don't believe it will happen. But I'm only throwing out that possibility and what would happen, I believe, if we don't continue to have some kind of modern issue. And I hope it doesn't happen. And that's one reason why I believe that I should continue to participate in the party, and other blacks should participate in the party, is to try to ensure that, as best you can, that doesn't happen. If it's not happening, do the best you can to keep it from happening.
How have you been received by the party?
I would say that my reception has been good to excellent. Of course, there have been some people like in the party that, you know, have not been too encouraged by my presence. But I would think as a whole, though, the reception has been, really, I guess as a whole, the reception has been excellent. The people that I've come in contact with and talked with and, you know, the party members of all of them see me as pretty much as any other party member, you know.
So you intend to stay with it?
Yes, at this time I think that I should, you know, unless I do some other things, you know, because my general tendency, of course, that I would like to do some other things eventually. You know, I enjoyed my work in Southern Regional Council, I worked with Vern Jordan with the Voter Education Project.
Has the Voter Education Project done anything substantially since Vernon left?
Not that I know of, and we just leave it at that, but I just don't know a lot about it. John Lewis is a good friend of mine, and I just wouldn't want to get any personality or something. So I just don't know. I'd like to leave that. I just wouldn't want to get into it. Both of them are good friends of mine. But what I'm saying, that kind of work of getting out with the people still appeals to you and now, and deep in my heart,
couldn't you do the same thing if you ran for public office?
Well, yes and no. I think in doing it like that, you do it with a non-partisan attitude. You attempt to anyway. If I run for public office, I'm going to have a very partisan attitude. Whether I have it or not, people are going to see me as having it. Therefore, I believe I'll be able to help less people. But if you go in my view, on a non-partisan basis, as you would work in work like that, I believe you have a tendency to cross party lines more and perhaps be of more assistance. Because people now that I would want to help to a certain degree, would look at me as being a strictly black person. On the other hand, I'm just in the Democrat Party, people look at me being strictly a Democrat. But maybe if you go into it on a purely nonpartisan basis, and I think George Essa is doing an excellent job with Southern Regional Council and trying to bring about other kinds of changes to the council, such as long-term planning on a regional basis and dealing with the Southeastern region, I believe, and a couple other states included. But I just believe that you can be more effective if you go into things of nonpartisan base. People don't see you as a threat. But when you come on as a party member, a party person, or a party candidate, or a person running for political office, or in office, they see you as probably trying to feather your nest or trying to preparing for re-election. Of course, to a certain degree, many times you do some things when you're in power to try to ensure your next election. And when you're not under that kind of pressure, I think it works better both ways when you're not under that kind of pressure. For instance, let's talk about the politics. I have a feeling in Greenville, one of the best candidates to run for political office in the last few years was a Republican who ran for mayor of Greenville, a little unknown guy who was what's the position, under the captain. Anyway, he was a Navy officer, and he came down, he's running a tape shop, really, of all places, called Trader Wood. Well, he lost by 40 votes to the incumbent. The incumbent beat his returns. And I believe he's a very sincere person. And if he becomes mayor of Greenville, I believe it's going to be better for all of us. Because he sees things more in the view of a common person. He's kind of a common man in a sense, you know what I'm saying? He sees the views, he seems to understand the views of the average person a lot more than, you know, than, let's say, many people I know. And I believe he would make an excellent candidate. And of course, people that run as Democrats in this area, such as Ham Miller, who I think is an excellent representative. Democrat, but I think he's a good representative. Yeah. I think Santa Maria is a good representative. Of course, Santa Maria is a lot more political than Hannah is. Hannah seemed to do more things, I think, out of feeling, gut feeling, personal, deep feelings, whereas I think Sonny do more things more for political reasons. Yeah. But both, I think, are representing their district fairly well. Douglas Abraham, who's a Democratic state representative. And again, he's more like Sonny.
The Delta representatives now in the legislature, are they much more responsive to...
The representatives in this area are much more responsive now than they were a few years ago.
And that's particularly a result of black voters?
I think it's because of black voters. But, you know, Greenville itself has been an unusually moderate town as far as many towns are concerned.
How much of that is a reflection of the newspaper?
I believe much of it. I have to give Hardy Potter a lot of credit. I think it does help. Of course, in addition to your paper, I think your business community have tried to keep the lid on. You know, you have a large number of Jews, Jews ain't gonna make money, man. Jews not gonna have a whole lot of interracial conflict. You didn't make money. You got to face it, of course, and Jews too. I've been oppressed like all of us, and I think they see some views in that respect. But I think all that, with the combination of your strong business community, your newspaper, your Jewish community, and all, I think have all this combined, I think, to help keep a sense of moderation in your policies in Greenville.
For blacks, would you consider Greenville the best place in Mississippi to live?
I really don't know. You know, I believe Greenville is one of the very best. If I had to, you know, in order, of course, you have to raise a family and everything, and I consider that. Of course, you have another tendency to worry about. You know, you get to a place like Greenville where you have moderate leadership. You only have one black, you have two blacks, but one within the city, that's a black lady on the city council. And this only happened recently. You know, you can kind of be lulled to sleep, just put this moderation stuff on you. It seems to take initiative away from you sometimes to the average black person when he should be out there really hustling. Because of the moderate trend here, you don't hustle as hard, which means you never really put anybody in office. So, you know, it can be good on one side, it can beat the devil out you on the other. But I guess when you put them all together, I would say that Greenville is still a nice place to live.
Is any kind of black political caucus statewide in Mississippi?
Not that I know of.
Is there one within the Republican Party? You mentioned 50.
I mentioned that the Republican Party. They have a group of blacks who meet every so often, and that's every full moon, every year, like they don't have an issue, they don't raise hell about it or something. talking and discussing about it. And, you know, we use it at night table and talk, you know, discuss some things. But mainly we have to do about what we can do to make maybe a significant person more moderately thinking. Listen, we were concerned, like, for instance, let's say during the campaign, I'm just going to throw out a typical issue. During the campaign, well, we could deal pretty good with Thad Cochran down in Jackson, you know, Republican candidate, who you know, has, a moderate views. But all of us are very dissatisfied with Trent Lott down at, on the coast. Well, of course, Trent didn't have a lot of blacks in on the coast. You know, you haven't been a black on the coast, you know, in the Delta. So, and of course, you know, Trent just had to work with Cullman, you know, and in a way, very hardliner, in my view, Trent Lott is. And we were very much dissatisfied with him. We want to try to get some of his views changed and stuff like that. You know, try to get him to slack up a little, you know, not, you know, stuff.
Did you talk to him?
I personally didn't. I had planned to see him.
Did the group talk to him? Anybody from the group?
I think he got an expression of our views, but I don't know if the group itself talked with him. Because I was supposed to be the one talking to him.
Now, how about in Carmichael, please?
Carmichael?
Yeah.
And what was his view? His view? In his campaign?
Yeah, was there any black input in his campaign?
Yeah, there's a lot of black input. Matter of fact, there's black working for him. Like I can name one who worked a lot with him, who worked with a lot of campaign work for him.
Do you foresee any sort of black political organization or black political caucus developing in Mississippi where black Democrats and Republicans get together just to discuss black issues?
I think we're going to have to file on survival. You take Hardin Carter. Okay. Hardin Carter, in my view, is a very fine man. A good liberal Democrat, sound liberal. Clark Reed is a good sound conservative, in my view. That's where they are. They're just that black brothers. Because they probably like each other as person. They don't hear them politically either. You know. So I'm saying, I think it's the same view. I think it's time for black to get like that. And I think blacks now talking like that more than ever. You know, concerned about regardless of who's in power. Let's see if we can do some good for our people in power analysis. Charles Young out of Meridian. I don't know if you know that. Met Charles Young. Charles Young, a Meridian, was black in Mississippi who supported McGovern initially. You know, I think Charles Edwards was for Chairman Chisholm, but in fact, I think he really along with Doc up here, Clark said Doc, you know, what's the name, I don't think about that. Anyway, everybody was Humphrey in the state, more or less, the Democrat Party, except, you know, Charles was with Shirley. But Doc Henry, you know, and the rest of them were Humphrey, including, I believe, Carter. But Charles, one of those who was with the governor from the beginning. But anyway, Charles sees a need for all of us, I think, to pull together to discuss issues, regardless of our party. And I believe that we're slowly coming to that point. You know, I think slowly. I've been coming to that point. But we talk a lot on the phone sometimes. I've seen whenever I'm in Meridian. Benson, there's a conference coming up, I believe, at Tupelo College on the 11th of this month to talk about probably same thing, a black leadership conference. And I think I'll be attending that conference. I find myself most standing. I'm a heck of a done big minority most of them. Because usually we have a tendency to invite people who think like us. And most people feel that I think a little different, so you don't get invited. You know? But I think very much, I'm very moderate in my thinking. And when I attempt to get real radical, and that is my thinking, just like when Martin Luther King was assassinated, I went through a hell of a damn period of readjustment because all of a sudden I just felt like, you know, damn, you know, this was it. You know, Martin Luther, in my view, was a moderate man, and white Americans decided to kill him, so that was probably it. Probably all other things do now is to probably take up guns and shoot at white somebody, do something to you. and you go through a hell of a damn period, you know, almost like a suicidal period, you know, in the sense that, you know, that the system is not going to work at all, you know, that there's probably no hope. And it really tears you to pieces when you're going through a period like that. And I had to go through a serious period. I thought of readjustment after the assassination. And the reassessment was that, you know, that the very few Martin Luther King was going to come, but the effort for freedom must go on, and you must try to do it in your own small way, that nowhere, and that to any other way would be a cop-out, because you could probably be destroyed if you live that way. And a lot easier than you can trying to figure out a way how to be able to vote and give it to my hand.
Is there anything else? I'm not trying to rush, but you're going to have to catch a plane after a while. But anything you wanted to comment on that you didn't cover?
Well, I think you did a good job. I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything.
How was your law practice?
And interview Gene McLemore. No more transcription. This tape.